Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're in the, this is the 72nd part on how to have God's life living in you. But this is program number 174. If you'd like a copy of it, we can tell you four different ways how to receive a copy at the end of the program, but make sure you specify whether you want a tape or a CD. And it's absolutely free, and if you need a Bible, or if you need a Messiah book or some literature or copies of these tapes, incidentally, you can go into our archives. We have all the recent tapes on the website, and then we are also archiving them as well. So you can go back. I must have done maybe 1,000 of them, but they're not all archived now. But I've done several thousand tapes down through the years, and we might even fish through some of them and put them in the archives as well. Problem is they're not all one-hour tapes, but that's all right. We can put maybe two of them together, and some of them run about 3 hours. So we'll just chop them up into different segments, because each one of them is extremely important. Right now, we have letters, and right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint outwardly this service. Father, wake everyone up. Lord, in the book of Revelation, you talk about the trumpets, the seven trumpets, and the seven seals that are locked up until these last days. And so many these trumpets, and you're talking about the horns on the altar. And the horns in past times, I've mentioned, are the power of God. And we also, Lord, there are seven trumpets, seven seals. And Lord, we ask that you blast open these seals. So many things are sealed. And until the day, Lord, that they are revealed, they're locked up. But now the seven seals have been broken open by you, Jesus. And the book of Revelation is extremely easy for those of us that are walking in the Spirit to understand. That means that the time of your coming is here. You also state that the gospel would be preached to all the quarters of the world, every nation, and now that has been happening for many years now, that the Jews would be returned to their homeland just before you return. And that happened in 1947 and 48. Lord, you're standing right at the door. And you said that there'd be great tribulations in the 9th chapter of the book of Revelation. You talk about many of them, or one-third of the population in the world to be destroyed at one time, just in one of the plagues that you'll be sending down. Many false teachers are teaching that we will be raptured out of the tribulations, and that you'll come and take your church away, your bride away at that time. But according to your word, not the false prophets, but your word is that immediately after the tribulations is when you're going to come back and take your church, and that will meet you in the sky. How they get that scripture messed up like that, Father, I have no idea. I mean, it's just got to be the devil. And I'm sure that's who it is. So, Lord, I ask that you wake everyone up, send the trumpet blast in their ears, so that they can hear and see and understand the message tonight. Speak through me. Let everything that is said here strengthen the church, and let the things here quicken those that are lost. Let it be your life-giving spirit. Enter into them, Jesus. You are the life-giving spirit. You are the way, the truth, and the life. All power in heaven and on earth belongs to you, and you'll give them the power when they are saved to be able to keep all your commandments, the moral law, which is never done away with, only the law of sacrifices is gone, because you came into the world and were the true sacrifice. God come in the flesh, in the inside of a human being. So Lord, save souls, strengthen the church, and Lord, let us expose Satan's, which means that when we expose all the different evil things that his people are doing here on earth, that binds him on earth, and you plainly, clearly state in your word that you bind him in heaven. Lord, we thank you and give you all the praise and glory and thanks, and heal those in the body of Christ that are sick and afflicted, and those that are going to be saved. Heal them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Now, you have healed them already, but Lord, give them the faith to receive that which you have provided for them. You provided for them salvation, and you provided for them healing. Let them reach out by faith and receive their healing in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, so where is the first letter from?
From Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Alamo, sanctified greetings to you in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How is your world ministry of God?
It's doing fantastic. Very wonderful. Souls are being saved, and we just keep exposing the devil. And that binds him on earth, and the Lord is binding him in heaven. And the Lord is blessing, and blessing through these messages that he gives through us. And we thank and praise the Lord for your testimonial here. And every one of you out in Radio Land that receives salvation, and you see souls being saved from the literature that the Lord has given me, and from these programs, let us know, because it encourages everybody in the church and those outside the church, and in all the other churches in the world. All right, so what, that are of the Lord, of course. Then what?
It is my everyday prayer that God will richly bless you and your ministry abundantly.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Then what?
I find it a great privilege to have the opportunity to ask you to come to my aid. Pastor, I was a sinner and in a gang of notorious people who are well known for bad behavior in our society. But now I have been converted to Christianity just recently due to reading of your booklet entitled The Fighters, and I was sorry for my sins. I now believe that Jesus Christ sat on the cross at Calvary and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. I do now accept and confess Jesus Christ as my personal Savior.
Praise the Lord.
I have confessed all my sins, and I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is hearing my confession of sins, and he will forgive me and wash all my filthy sins away. Pastor, I am now a member of the above-mentioned church, but lack Christian materials. I cannot perform well during the studies of the Word of God because, due to financial problems, I cannot afford to buy a Bible because of the economic conditions of this country, and such Christian materials are expensive over here. Please, Pastor, I shall be extremely happy if you could send me these Christian materials, a Holy Bible, literature, books, pamphlets, the Messiah book, gospel and preaching cassettes, copies of The Fighters, Biting the Bullet, Satan's Secret Agents, and others, because I am truly ready to serve the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I know that through God, your ministry will help me and will continue to help me. I also know that sending me these Christian materials will broaden my knowledge in the true Word of God. Please, sir, tell the ministry to keep me in their prayers. I am hopefully and strongly praying for the growth of your ministry in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am counting on your response. Thank you for your kind help to me, Tony, from Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Send that, brother, everything that we have. All right, then what else? Everything he asked for. Then what?
Next letter is from San Salvador, El Salvador. Beloved brother Tony Alamo, may the Lord bless you more than he already has. May the Lord bless your powerful literature ministry, which has saved many souls in the world.
This letter comes from the first island that Columbus discovered, San Salvador. He was born again Christian. He named it San Salvador, which means Saint Savior. And he believed that the world is round because of what he read in the Bible. Now, if everybody believed what they read in the Bible, you'll all be saved out there. Amen?
Amen.
Because everything is true. God knew the world was round the day he created it. Amen?
Amen.
He put it in the Bible. So you can rely on what you read in the Bible. All right, then what else?
Your literature is even a blessing here in El Salvador. Many testify how your message has filled them with the Holy Spirit. This is why, Pastor Lamo, I urge you to provide me with literature continually so I may always have some in order to evangelize.
Praise the Lord. Make sure you load this brother up. Amen?
Amen. Pastor Lamo, I have not been able to send you pictures because of economic difficulties. I place the Bibles in hospitals where the people from around the countryside and remote areas go. There are people who otherwise would not have a Bible. We are a number of 20 people who have been working with your ministry for 2.5 years now. We rejoice greatly and are privileged to participate in the Lord's vineyard.
This makes me rejoice, amen, that mm-hmm. people are out there distributing this literature and people are getting saved. They're on fire for the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
We are gathering together in my home to study your literature because we feel a need to keep spiritually awake. I would like to continue to request your literature, Bibles, and Messiah books to send to me as you see fit. Celia from San Salvador, El Salvador.
I remember the day Susie died. You know, I told the Lord, I was talking to him, and I said, Lord, you know that Susie's been a preacher all these years, and this ministry has to go on. I mean, she's gone now. And I pray that you will give me the ability to be able to write, because we're here in this little small town in Arkansas, over in Dyer, Arkansas, and up on the ridge, Georgia Ridge. And I know that you've called me for big things, because it was such a supernatural calling that you called me. You've given me so many visions, signs, and even dream visions and things like that. And you've told us wonderful things that we're going to be doing in this world. And I want to be able to contribute something. I need a gift from you, and that gift is the Lord put on my heart to ask him if he would give me the ability to write. And so he said, yes, I will give you that ability. I'm going to give it to you right now. But he said, you're going to have to discipline yourself to stay in, primarily. And you won't be able to drive around or go travel or anything like that. You're going to pretty much be confined, because you're going to have to do a lot of studying. You're going to have to do a lot of seeking my face, and you're going to have to write. And then you're going to have to look through it and read through it. And I'm legally blind, and that's going to be rough, so I'm going to have people read this literature back and forth that the Lord gives me. I says, all right. He says, now if you distribute the literature, you will not be destroyed. But if you don't distribute it, you will be destroyed. So this is one of the other reasons why we keep distributing this literature, because it's our very life, and it's your life as well. And I just pray that you appreciate the gift that the Lord has given all of us, because if it wasn't him giving me the messages, I wouldn't be able to have written them down, and I wouldn't have been able to send them to you or relay them to you through these microphones here. So I just thank and praise the Lord for it. And I thank and praise the Lord for every one of you people out there in Radio Land and in our church that are zealous to be on the streets and win the souls that you're winning out there. Praise the Lord. God bless you. And what?
Next letter's from Nigeria, Africa. Dear Pastor Lamo, I send a warm and affectionate greeting to you and your ministry in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yours is the kind of ministry that is needed nationwide in a time like this. I appreciate God through a brother in my state who linked me with such a ministry like yours, which is out to show light to people and the right way to pursue in this world of darkness that we are in, by giving some of your literature and newsletters to me, which exposed me to some mysteries about the world. It is now that I understand that our God answers prayers. The reason being that I have been praying since I gave my life to Christ to link me with a minister of God who embraces the truth to the call, and that will be my spiritual father and mentor. And now God has done it for me. Please, Pastor, I would like to be receiving from you day in and day out until our Lord Jesus Christ comes back. I was saved by the grace of God a few years back, and since then I have been struggling with the members of my family to get them saved. Thank God that the dream is coming true little by little, but some of them need sound messages that will really sink into their hearts. It is in the light of this that I am pleading with you, Pastor, that you send 2 Bibles and newsletters and books, most especially messages on spiritual warfare and growth, to be distributed to people that are still wallowing in sins, and for new converts to be fully established in Christ. While waiting for your prayer...
Well, while you're saying that, you know, spiritual warfare. Now, the Lord wants us to bind Satan on this earth, and that means if you really want to know spiritual warfare, then expose Satan. Expose Satan in your home, in your church, in the community, in your county, in your town, in your city, in your state, and then everywhere. And that's spiritual warfare. That's how you really break Satan's back. And stay in prayer so that you know when to expose them. For instance, I had an expose on, God gave me a piece of literature on Governor Clinton when he was the governor, and then he just made president, and then the Lord told me, don't put it out now, not right now. And so I have it on file, and I never did put it out. So I don't know, maybe the Lord's going to save him. I sure pray that he does, because President Clinton and I had some pretty good times today together, and He wrote a nasty thing about me in his new book. Devoted a couple of 2 or 3 pages to Susie and myself in there. And a doctor friend of mine says, the president of the United States put you in his book. I said, yeah, but it wasn't, you know, too nice. And he says, but I mean, just the fact that he was even thinking about you. And I says, well, you know, that doesn't really impress me too much, because it impresses me that the Lord is thinking about me, you know? And the Lord is much bigger than former President Clinton. He says, I know, but my God, you know, I says, oh, come on, you know, get off of it. But anyway, I says, no big deal. We did have some little lunch together a couple of times, and I introduced him to somebody that he wanted to be introduced to, and he asked me to introduce them to him. Actually, it was Dolly Parton who was singing at at my restaurant over in Elma, Arkansas. He came in and said, Tony, you know, I'd like to meet you. And we sat down and had some pie and coffee. Then he asked if I could introduce him to Dolly Parton. Well, he wrote about that in his book. And then he said some derogatory, that I was the number one promoter, and that I was promoting my wife, and now that my wife is gone, I don't have anything to promote. Well, that's a shame on you, President Clinton, because I'm doing a promotion for you right now. Amen?
No.
I'm mentioning your name, Bill, B-I-L-L, Clinton, C-L-I-N-T-O-N. And I'm not embarrassing you or doing anything derogatory. I spelt your name right. Amen? Just like you spelt mine right in your book. Okay, then what?
While waiting for your prayer through the reply, I pray to God for you that the powerful hand of God will continue to rest upon you and your ministry for good, so as to be able to complete the assignment that God has placed in your hands. And finally, I pray to God to help me to know you more than merely through writing. God bless you real good. Yours in Christ, Samuel, from Osun State, Nigeria, Africa.
Well, praise the Lord. Sounds like a very strong Christian. I pray that, you know, we'll be able to meet each other on this side of eternity. If we don't, we'll meet each other in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so Sharon, let's come forward here, and let's continue on with How to Have God's Life Living in You, Part 72.
Everybody who has a Bible, go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 36.
Okay, give them a little chance to get there. Okay, is anybody there yet? I still see them fumbling here. You know how to get to Matthew, right? That's in the New Testament. in the first of the four Gospels. All right, and what chapter?
Chapter 12.
12, and what? And where are you going to start?
Verse 36,
all right.
Quote, "And I say unto you, that every idle word, even every idle word, that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment," unquote.
See, we're talking about the great white throne of judgment. A lot of people say, well, I can't wait to get there. You know, you don't want to be at the great white throne of judgment, because if you're there, that's where the wicked are going to be judged and sentenced to an eternity in the lake of fire. They've been held captive in hell, where it's burning, for maybe thousands of years, but they all have to come up for final judgment. And they were dead once. They were dead all their life. Some of them got saved, and then they decided to lose their salvation. A lot of preachers say that's not possible. Once saved, always saved. That is a dirty lie, because even Jesus many times mentions about you were saved. He said, but if you don't get red hot, if you don't become zealous, he says, I'm going to spit you out of my body, out of my mouth. And so that means you were saved, but once he spits you out of his mouth, you're not in his body anymore. You're not saved. Amen?
Amen.
So these people that are preaching, you can't be lost. All you have to do is believe in the name of Jesus. Well, the Bible tells us that the name of Jesus is the entire Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. In the beginning, it was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then, this is in the first chapter of John, the Gospel. And then it says, and the Word became flesh. The Word came into this world. Now, Mary never gave birth to God. She gave birth to a man. That's a flesh. The flesh. And that flesh had God, the Word, in him. So, we, all of those of us that are born again of the Spirit, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in us as well. But that doesn't mean that my mother gave birth to God. No, she gave birth to a renegade. I was one of the most wild, probably the most wild person I ever knew. I mean, I have never met anybody more wild. Except maybe for some bikers, you know, that are just crazy and kill each other, or people in the drug addicts and things like that. But I did everything else, except homosexuality and stuff like that. But that I don't call as being, that's being filthy. So, but we're going to wind up at the great white throne on the final day of judgment, and then God is going to sentence the sinner that arrives there, the self-righteous, to an everlasting eternity in the lake of fire. Death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. You were dead, and you're brought up to the judgment, the final judgment, and you're in hell, and you're dead, and you're brought up there, and then this is the second death, when the Lord sentences you and throws you into the lake of fire. So you don't want that to happen to you. You want to be born again of the Spirit. Okay, so go ahead.
In other words, every time you have taken God's name in vain, it's in the book. Every time you ask God to damn somebody or something, it has been written down in the book.
Yes, it's been recorded on God's tape recorder. He is omnipresent. He's the very air. He has a candle that's inside. The Holy Spirit is like looking into you. He knows everything you're thinking and saying, and knows what you're going to do before you do it. And so there's no way to escape him or his judgment. The only way you can escape his final dreadful judgment is to have his life living in you, become a member of Christ's body, and then continue letting Christ, with his thought about his Spirit, living in you and doing what they want to do in and through you. In other words, you have to surrender your entire being, your entire self, unto the Lord's will. Well, I thought he gave us our own free will. Yes, you can will to do your own will, or you can will to do God's will. If you do your own will, you're definitely going to be at the final judgment at the great white throne, and you're definitely going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. All right, then what?
Every time you've taken the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ and uttered it in blasphemy, it's also in the book. But Tony, I didn't mean to do that. I really didn't mean to say that. That's why you are condemned, because you didn't mean to say it, but the Lord says you're being judged for every idle word that you didn't mean to say, but you said.
Right, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I've heard that down through the years by a dozen or more preachers. Everybody intends to do good. They don't mean to do it, you know, but they did do it. And so, but they have good intentions. You intend to do something that isn't of any value. Doing it is what has the value. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus didn't just intend to be nailed to the cross. He allowed himself to be nailed to the cross and be pierced with a spear, and he allowed himself to die, his human body. But the Spirit of God, that was in his body, resurrected him 3 days and three nights afterwards. And he came out of hell as well. Only the powerful Spirit of God could do that. The same Spirit of God that was in him can enter you, and then you're resurrected from death unto life. And so you're alive forevermore if you continue on in the Word. Okay, then what else?
You're being judged for every idle word that you didn't mean to say, but you said. Those that slip because your mouth doesn't speak, but whatever is in your heart. Idle words. God's candid camera is grinding away. God's tape recorder is recording words that are falling from your lips. That
yeah,
you have.
They got this TV program which says, "We got you." You know, in other words, they got hidden cameras all over the place or something, and that's that candid camera program. And they're sitting in a restaurant and somebody's just, you know, eating out of your bowl of soup or something, and it's just to see how irate you get. And then when you want to just about ready to sock the guy in the nose and bend his spoon and dump his bowl over, your bowl over on his head, they say, wait a minute, you're on candid camera. And they go, oh, okay, thank you, I'm sorry. But I wanted the soup and you irritated me and only had so much time to get to work, you know, and eat. So, but the Lord has got you clocked. He's got his candid camera going at even when you're sleeping. He knows how many heartbeats you've got left and how many breaths you have left. Go ahead.
God's tape recorder is recording words that are falling from your lips that you have long since forgotten. You've forgotten about them.
You say that's a long time ago, though, man. He can't possibly want to judge me for that. Yes, he does. How do I know? Because it says he does. Amen?
Amen.
Even every idle thought. So that's why the Bible tells you to pull down every idle thought. Amen?
Amen.
And put it under subjection to God's Word. But I like to think freely, you know. I'm a free thinker, Lord. You don't have to tell him, he knows it. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
The books will be opened and bring all these things back to your remembrance. This is such an awesome thought to think about. Think about it. Awesome thoughts. Secrets that have been recorded on you. Secrets that have been revealed. The books will be opened. That's for sure. Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed.
There is nothing that you try to cover that shall not eventually be revealed on Judgment Day. Everything will be revealed, whether you like it or not. And it's going to come back. And you know, the Lord, he says that you're going to judge. He says, everything that you did before, it'll come coughing up, pointing judgment at yourself. Lord, I fornicated. I thought about fornicating. I thought about lying. I was lying. I did this and that and everything. And I know what your word says about liars and fornicators. And I know what it says about lesbians and homosexuals. And you're just going to keep repeating it. It's going to come right out of your mouth. And so, therefore, Lord, I know I have to go to hell. And goodbye, you know. And the Lord waves his hand goodbye to you. You condemn yourself. Now that's awesome, isn't it?
Yes.
Because it's all logged in you. You're like a computer as well. It's just going to be you're rewinding all the time, and then all of a sudden he's going to push play, and it's going to come out of you. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Things that you did in Los Angeles, New York, your hometown, over in Vietnam, things that you did in the Korean conflict. Things you did up on the ridge, things you did in Dyer, Alma, Van Buren, or the cities that you fled to because you wanted to get away from persecution.
Yeah, Europeans, Canadians, when you were in Canada. I'm glad all my sins are washed in the blood of Jesus, because I wouldn't want to be judged for all those. Amen?
Amen.
I for sure I'd be going into hell. Just because you want to blank it out, just because you don't want to remember, doesn't mean that God's of the same mind as you. It's all logged in. It's already in you, and it's going to come blasting out. That's when all secrets of man shall be revealed. That which is hidden in secret shall be shouted to the housetops. Okay, then what?
Things that you did parked in a drive-in theater, things that you did on the bus trip, things your wife doesn't know about, things your boyfriend didn't find out about you.
Things you did in the van, things you did on the train, on the airplane. I know I've had a lot of people tell me what they did on airplanes, on buses, on trains, in vans. I've heard all kinds of stories of people's lives, and they'd laugh about it. But it's no laughing matter on Judgment Day. Some people just live in those thoughts. They reminisce in the past. That's why they keep scrapbooks. I had a friend back. He just kept a scrapbook on everyone he had fornication with. And he had zeros, circles around numbers and everything, so he could tell what style of sexual relationship he had with them. And the book was filled. And he took a lot of pride in that book. And I know women that have stayed the same before I was saved. I knew all these guys. And Leroy, if you're listening, you know who I'm talking about. Okay, then what else? Leroy Levitt, to be exact. A Jewish young man. His dad ran Levitt Jewelry Stores. It was a whole chain of jewelry stores back east. Pretty wealthy young lad. Okay, then what?
Things your parents don't know about you. Things your pastor will never know about you. The books were opened, and it will be known then. It's going to be read. You're going to come out of the grave, and you're going to stand before God and then be judged. Now let's all turn to the place where sentencing of the people is determined. Look at how the sentence from the judge on the great white throne came to be passed and determined. And please pay attention. We go back to the passage that we started out with, which is Revelation chapter 20, verse 13. Quote, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works." W-O-R-K-S.
And yeah, so the people said, well, we don't have to do any works. Young man, young lady, old man, old woman, You doing works every day. Amen?
Amen.
You're either doing your own thing, you're into sin, some kind of sin, or else you're busy working for the Lord. So you're going to be judged by whatever you're doing every day. You're doing something. Amen?
Amen.
Unless you're in an iron lung or something and you're locked up in there. And even then, your brain is working 90 miles an hour. And you're judged by every thought. Okay, then what?
And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Look at verse 13, quote, "And they were judged every man according to their works," unquote. You won't be able to bribe this judge. You won't be able to escape.
You know, I bribed a judge once when I was, before I was saved. Somebody was bootlegging my records that I had on the air, the 20 original hits on the one that started that. And so I thought, so I stopped payment on a bunch of checks that I issued to radio stations in hopes that they would stop him. But instead, they arrested me for mail fraud, which I really didn't intend to do, and I was very willing to pay the stations. But they were playing this other man's commercial, and it was my record. And so they were guilty of helping bootleg my record. So anyway, they took me in, and I had Morris Levine as an attorney, and he was Frank Sinatra's attorney, and a whole lot of other movie stars, Elizabeth Taylor and all those. And he says, "Well, have you got $500? And back then, $500 was a lot more than it is today. I said, "Sure." He says, "Well, give it to me, and I'll give the judge." And he says, "When you get up in front of him, just tell him, when he says, 'Do you have anything to say before you're sentenced?'" And I said, "Well, what should I say?" "Just say, 'Well, from now on, I'll do better now.'" And I said, "That's all?" He says, "Yes." And I said, "He's just going to let you go." I couldn't hardly believe it, you know. So I went up there, and the judge says, "You have anything to say?" And I says, "Yes, I'll do better." He says, "All right, $500 fine," which was nothing to me, and that's it. And the feds jumped up and says, "What about the radio stations? Doesn't he have to pay them?" Judge says, "I'm not going to be a collection agency for the radio stations." And I said, "Whoo, that was nice, you know, that nice." But in heaven, you're not going to bribe the judge. "Well, Lord, how about $500,000? "No, you can't bribe. That send you down to hell even faster. You can't bribe God." I mean, he owns all the hills and the cattle on 1,000 hills. And as a matter of fact, he owns all the cattle and everything else. He put all the diamonds, the rubies, the gold, the silver, the platinum in the earth. The emeralds. He put the pearls inside the oysters. He's got all the money he wants in the world. He owns the world. He owns millions of worlds. You can't bribe him. You can't out-talk him. Your false excuses, your lies, when you get up there and start lying to God, you've been pretty slick down here. You've been able to barter your way around and buy your way around. You have a bunch of sleaze pots, sleaze bags. But you're not going to do it with him. Some of you out there are saying, "I've never been a sleaze bag." Well, okay, your excuse. I didn't mean you, okay? I meant the sleaze bags. Right? Or the scumbags. Okay, then what?
God swears by himself that you are coming forth to judgment. Look at the severity of the judgment. Our severity is, quote, "They were judged according to their works," unquote.
Yeah, and you're doing some kind of work every day, right? What are you going to do today? You get up in the morning and think, "I just got to win a soul today, Jesus, for the Lord." Or, "What's for dinner? What's for breakfast? What's for lunch? And where's the party at? What is it? Or what brain, where I can get my brain today?" You know, you can fantasize and fly away to Europe if you want, or to some sleaze hole over in Paris or Trudeau, France, or to Nice, or wherever your mind carries you. Does your mind get carried up to the throne of the Lord? And are you there, sitting with Him in heavenly places, talking to Him? I certainly hope so, for your sake. Then what?
That means that there is no mercy. If you're judged according to your works, that means so much sin, so much punishment. And it also means no mercy.
Because it's a code. You're being judged and sentenced to hell because of your works. You're not letting God do His works in you and through you. It's your work. Okay, then what?
You might say, I thought God was a God of love. Well, He is. Then you might say, I thought God was a God of grace, which really means power. But the Baptists and others say that it means undeserved favor.
That's the truth, that's a lie. Then what?
Grace is power, God's power. He is. And you might say, I thought God is a God of love. And He is. But if you want love, and if you want the power of God, or grace, and if you want mercy, you've got to get in. You've got to receive it. You've got to do something now. You've got to receive mercy now and love now.
In order to get mercy now, you've got to start sowing mercy now. In other words, get love and mercy at the judgment bar of God, you've got to sow mercy now. That's how you get mercy. You want to know how to get carrots? You sow carrots, amen, into the ground.
Amen.
And how you get mercy at the judgment bar of God, you start sowing mercy, you start preaching the gospel to people and telling them who the devil is and who the Lord is and explain how to be saved. And you want to have love there, you start sowing love. Love is the keeping of God's commandments. You start keeping the commandments. Whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. Go out there and plant some cabbage seeds. You're going to get cabbage. You think you're going to get something else than carrots if you plant carrot seeds? You're not going to get watermelons. Amen?
Amen.
You're not going to get cucumbers. So in order to get mercy, you got to sow mercy seeds. In order to get love, you have to sow love seeds. That means keep the commandments of the Lord. Love is the keeping of God's commandments. All right? Then, in order to have prosperity, you know, this one, everybody seems to know that, because all the preachers only preach about prosperity seeds. You sow your tithes and offerings, you know? Okay, then what?
If you want to be able to have His power, you have to get that now.
You got to sow power seeds. You've got to do what He says, and therefore... you have to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have to pray for it. You have to seek the face of the Lord in order to receive the power. And He gives you power for those that keep His commandments. He gives you the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you keep His commandments. The Bible says so. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
And if you don't do it now, then there's no mercy for you.
Right, because if you haven't done these things all your life, and then tonight you die, you're... worse than up the old creek. Amen?
Amen.
Without a paddle. Because you're going right straight into the lake of fire. I don't say you never heard it. That's just even farmers know. If you don't plant something, you're not going to get anything back. You've got to do something. I thought you were a God of love when you get at the judgment bar of God. You hear these comedians saying, yeah, God is love. You know, He tells you He has all these things on earth and it says you can't have them. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, and He'll give you the desires of your heart, the things that will not send your soul to hell but get you to heaven. Okay? And so, you know, it's all up to you. You can sow pumpkin seeds or you can sow mercy seeds. You can sow carrots, or you can sow both, you know, carrots and then also mercy and also judgment, and you can keep the commandments. You can do all the things that the Lord tells you to do, and you sow unto him. Sow mercy, and you're going to receive mercy. Those that give abundantly shall receive abundantly. If you plant one carrot seed, you're not going to get 1,000 carrots, right?
Right.
You're
going to
get one carrot. So those that sow abundantly shall reap abundantly. I see some of these farmers out, ranchers out in Montana, they plant like 100 miles of wheat. They do that, and those dudes, those guys are going to get 100 miles of wheat. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, it's the same, it works the same principle. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord uses farming as a principle of sowing spiritually. As a matter of fact, we are God's farm. What you plant, you're going to receive. You should meditate on that, you know, every day. Okay, then what? If your mind is on that, and start planting, preaching the gospel, those are seeds into people's hearts. That's sowing mercy. Amen?
Amen.
So look at all the mercy I'm getting. I'm on radio stations all over the world. I'm writing tracts, and I've got hundreds of people. The Lord opened up doors so that they would distribute the literature, and that literature is winning souls. That's mercy. And then I send them Bibles, so, you know, and pieces of literature and tapes and everything. That's mercy. Because mercy rejoices against judgment. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, man, I see myself floating up there to that great white throne, and the Lord just takes his hand and pulls me away. You saw mercy, and now you can rejoice. You can stick your tongue out at judgment. Right? Oh, thank you, Jesus, for showing me how. That's spiritual warfare. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Those who sow mercy will receive mercy. If you give love, in other words, if you keep God's commandments, then you'll get God's favor, pardon. And if you want God's power, you're going to do what he says. The Bible states, quote, "It is appointed unto men just once to die, but after this death, then comes the judgment."
Right, you're not going to be reincarnated into a pelican or an alligator or something. Anything other, or you're not going to come back as another human. You only die once, and after this is judgment. Get it? You don't believe in reincarnation. It's another fable. Another fable, just like the evolution theory, just to get your mind off the Lord, just to get your mind from not sowing mercy. Okay, then what?
That was Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. "So if you are brought to stand before the great white throne, it will do you no good to tell God when you're standing there before him, 'God, have mercy on me.' If you want mercy, you had better get it right now. If you want forgiveness..."
In other words, get a bag of mercy seeds, like a lot of tracts, and start sowing them. Passing them out. Amen?
Amen.
If you're going to get mercy, you better start sowing it now. You better get it now. Because what you do today is what you're going to, the paycheck you're going to get up there in the kingdom of heaven. God sees everything you're doing and everything that you're not doing. Okay, what else?
"If you want forgiveness, you had better get it right now. Otherwise, you're never going to get it. What are you going to try to say now to God? What are you going to say to try to scam him? God will say to you, 'My court is supposed to be a fair court. So what is fair here? What is your defense, sir? What is your defense, madam?' And you start thinking of all your silly excuses. 'Well, you know, God, wait a minute. Let me think. Give me a minute, Lord. Wait, God, don't cast me to hell yet in the fire of burning brimstone. Don't do that, Lord, please. Give me mercy. Well, you know, God, I didn't have time to be saved. You know, I didn't have time. I didn't have time for you. I just didn't have time. I was too busy. Do you remember, Lord? Do you remember the Sunday I died? I died on a Sunday. I had been there to see old Tony. I went to Tony's church down there at Tony Alamo Christian Ministries. I know there were services 7 days a week and twice on Sundays, but on my way home from the church, I got killed in a car wreck, and I went home just like that. I came right up here before the judgment. I left so fast I didn't have time. If you wouldn't have taken me quite so quick, God will say, you had time because my child, Tony Alamo, talked to you all week long. Tony begged you to be a born-again Christian, and you didn't do it. You had plenty of time. But wait a minute, Lord. I didn't know, Lord. You know, down there in Los Angeles, California, everywhere I went, they've got all these different kind of churches, and I didn't know which one to believe in. They were talking about he's a Baptist or he's a Pentecostal. They've got Methodist and Church of God and Holiness. They've got all different kinds of churches and denominations. They've got fast-growing this and they've got fast-growing that. All these churches, and I got confused, and I didn't know which one to believe in. He said, I didn't tell you to believe on any church. I said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Yea, Lord, I understand that, but you see, you know, some things I'd like to know. And I didn't like to go to any church where they've got all this loud music and things and shouting and singing and jumping and shouting, and the preacher doesn't talk quite right in a quiet-like manner. Because you know that old Tony Alamo, he may sometimes shout. And a lot of these other preachers, they holler and they huff and puff and use these different voices. And I hate and I get tired of hearing all that sort of stuff. It's just a bunch of junk going on. And I just didn't want to join. But God's going to say, hold it. I didn't tell you to believe on Tony Alamo. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and I didn't tell you to believe on the huffer and puffer. Right?
Right.
Or the one that's jumping up and down or dancing down the aisles. I told you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is what I told you. But, Lord, I've got to tell you the truth. Now, here it is from my heart. I declare, I swear, God, this is it. This is why I didn't...
I promise.
This is why I didn't join. I could never be sure. I was never certain. I could not be sure. God's going to tell you, I didn't tell you to be sure. All I told you is believe. Then one by one by one, all of your secrets and silly excuses...
I didn't tell you to be sure of this church or this guy or that guy or this woman or that woman. I just said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe what he says, because you see all the signs of his coming here and on and on and on, all the things you've heard. Now, go ahead.
Then one by one, all of your secrets and silly excuses are going to falter and fail, and you won't be able to do anything but to just bow your head as you acknowledge that you're guilty. Then the verdict will be handed down. Here it is. I'm not the one that's going to say it. He says it right here in verse 15 of Revelation chapter 20. Quote, whosoever was not found, in other words, in this book that God has got for all his lambs, if your name isn't in there, it states, whosoever was not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire.
Well, other preachers say, but that just means for Satan and his angels. No, it says whosoever. Amen?
Amen.
That means human beings. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you saved? I ask you, are you saved? There is no condemnation for those who know Jesus. Thank God all never have to go to judgment. Thank God all never stand before the throne.
And I see my time is up for this program, and maybe this is the last program that you're ever going to hear that's going to be teaching you to get saved right now, because your time might be up tonight or while you're sleeping or in the afternoon or whenever you sleep, and the Lord's going to catch you. You know, the Bible says that your name is going to be called one of these moments, and when he calls you, there's no way that you can start arguing with him and start, the spirit's going to come right out of your body just in a flash of a second, and you'll be gone. But you could be saved right now. The Spirit of God could enter into your body and mingle with your spirit, and you'd be born again of the Spirit. And you could start having the power of God in you to start sowing mercy and to start showing God that you have love, which means to keep his commandments, to appeal to other people, as you hear me doing right now, for their souls to be saved. And this is mercy. say this prayer to the Lord and he'll have mercy on you now. Because if you don't, there'll be no mercy for you at the judgment bar of God. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. No, if you harden your heart to a message like this and the message yesterday and the message before that, I mean, your heart is going to get harder every time you refuse. Say this prayer now to the Lord and mean it with all your heart and soul. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. You will enter my spirit. You said that anyone that calls upon the Lord shall be saved. Wash me, cleanse. I confess that I've been a horrible sinner. I know you know that. And Lord, wash all my sins. Throw them into the sea of your forgetfulness and remember them no more against me. And I know that now I'm supposed to deny myself and take up the cross and follow you. And you are the Word, so all I have to do is follow the Word of the Lord. And you'll talk to me, and you'll tell me things that are not even mentioned in the Bible. You'll tell me when to go out and when to come in, where to, what to do, and you'll give me gifts and so that the body of Christ can be developed more quickly. And I will be a soul winner. I will distribute literature. I will have mercy and love on others. Lord God, I will have your power living in me because I'll seek your face all day long and all night. I will pray to you and I'll praise and thank you because the power of God comes down into the praises of the saints. Lord, I thank you. I know you've heard me. I know you've answered me and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord for saving your soul. It would be real nice if you would write and let us know, you know, that you accepted the Lord today. But so right now, Sharon's going to tell you how to receive a copy of this program. It's program number 174. Please specify if you want a tape or a CD.
Go to alamoministries.com or write Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. All right, so you're going to want to tune in tomorrow because every time the Lord talks to a person, it's going to be a power-packed message. Amen. It's going to be a message that's going to warn you about the judgment day and how close we are to the coming of Christ. So be sure to tune in for part 73 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord and keep on carrying that cross and denying yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.